Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. We are broadcasting from Faith Community Church in West Covina with... with the Set Free ministry of over 700 people in 32 groups under Pastor Kelly DuPay. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to New Life Live.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confronting?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
Right. It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty. Okay.
So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Yeah, whenever you do that, it's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I tell you, we've got a great audience. We don't usually have an audience because our studio is about the size of a doghouse, but this is different today. And thank you for joining us here on New Life Live with Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. John Townsend. You guys doing all right?
We're doing
great.
Good. Glad to be here.
Now, John, you just drove in from the airport. Where were you?
I was working in Dallas, Texas, doing a lot of consulting work.
Consulting?
Mm-hmm.
You like to consult?
Yeah. Meaning, talk to someone about problems just like we do on the show.
But you talk to, like, executives and stuff like that.
Businesses and executives.
Because why? They have more problems than other people? I mean, why didn't you choose nurses or something like that?
Because they came up to me and said, look, I'm not depressed and I don't have a drug addiction and I'm not anxious. My marriage is okay, but I'm not achieving the goals I want to meet. So how can we help you achieve your goals? It's a different kind of work than what we do here.
Man, I wish I'd met you 30 years ago. That could have really been a big help there. Well, I know, because I know those people in Dallas, and you really are a big help with them. And Dr. Sherry, you just got off of the Women in the Battle weekend.
I did.
I bet that was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. It was an awesome weekend. Mm. I just love watching the women change, you know, and find their hope and value back again. It's amazing to see what happens in a weekend when you have all the right things coming around you.
Right.
But
well, one of the cool things is how, Sherry, you bring your story out and people feel so much like you're an expert in the area of women in the battle, but you bring your story and there's so much warmth and credibility.
It's a little scary as a therapist, right, to bring your story out. Steve's kind of been one of my heroes in that because you have led with vulnerability and taught me a lot. So the thing that I'm finding is it's kind of like fish and loaves, you know. When you bring your brokenness, God has a way of just multiplying it and causing it to change other people's lives. So,
In fact, Steve is so vulnerable that he has to make up dysfunctions now.
all of my books are fiction
just
now.
Just to have new stuff. Yeah. You just got to figure new stuff out.
Well, I was struggling with that bull riding problem the other day.
It's better than the dead horse problem, though.
No, that's true. That is true. All right. Well, we are glad everybody's with us here. And it's a great night here at Faith Community Church. We're going to talk with some folks that aren't calling in, but they're going to stand right here in front of us, and we're happy about that. One of the things that I love about this church and where we are tonight is that it's kind of a guilt-free zone. And you can come here and, you know, a lot of churches you go to, you're ostracized if you have a problem. And in this group, you're ostracized if you act like you don't have a problem. And that's a really good thing. So we feel like we're among friends where true, we know this. We've heard the stories and we've watched the people where true transformation occurs. So we're excited to get to do this. We'll take a break. We come back. I want to talk with Ferdinand from Redondo Beach as soon as we get back. You are listening to New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery.
and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back.
We got to get a taller mic for that,
Ferdinand,
man.
You know, because we, you know, we can't see our callers. We did not know you callers out there were that handsome. That's amazing.
It's not easy.
Not easy. That's great.
Okay, so the self-esteem issue is not going to be coming up.
No.
Okay,
right.
I got it.
Well, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm dating a girl. Been dating her for like 2 weeks now.
Dating her for 2 weeks?
Two weeks. And I like her. And she was explaining to me about, I guess, this 20-date journey that she's been going on.
She's
By the
determined
way,
to date 20
people? 20 people, yeah. 20 different people.
Yeah.
I'm number 14.
You're 14?
Yes, I'm number 14 in the journey.
Lucky you. If you had been 13, you'd had no chance whatsoever.
You're right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Bad luck.
I agree. So my question is that I'm sure at some point if things continue the way they are that I'm going to, you know, come around with feelings and what have you. So my question is, how long do I wait? Do I wait for her to finish 20 dates? Or do I give an ultimatum? I mean, what do I do? I'm not sure.
All right. Well, fortunately for you, we have the originator of the 20-date concept right here. And what happened was that, you know, I went through a divorce back in 2002. And, of course, it was not my fault. And now, anyway, and I wrote about that in Healing is a Choice. But John and Henry, after the divorce was over, made me make a pledge that I would not settle down with any one person until...
We were his accountability group for that transition period.
Yeah. I had some suggestions of how they could do that better. But anyway, I dated 20 people, and I stuck with that pledge. Now, a couple of them were people that I met in Starbucks when I was standing in line, but... I ended up marrying number 3. But maybe talk about that a little bit. Maybe you could share, should somebody put up with that process or should they move on?
Well, the way I would look at it, Ferdinand, is it is a mercy to you that you're number 14 and this woman has enough character to say, I'm going to go for 20. You're getting a good deal. And I would not stop and say, well, gosh, do I wait for number 20? Do I just bail before then? Because what she's telling you is, I want to know, I'm not in here for, you know, fun, and I'm not in here for, like, something fast. I want to look at character, and I want to look at my character. And so what she's saying is, when I finish the 20, if I come back to you, you will know for the rest of your life that you're the rock star.
And she will never, in those moments where you act like a man, as we do, she'll be able to say to herself, you know what? This is the right guy for me. I dated 20 people, and nobody stood out like him. And it really does help with that when some rough spots come to eliminate that doubt or that regret that, hey, I got in this relationship 2 weeks, and then 2 months later, we were engaged. I think that really sets you up for some regrets.
Yeah,
but it's not easy.
The Bible speaks to this. In 1 Timothy, Paul's talking about leadership relationships, but it also applies. He says, do not lay your hands quickly on any person, meaning don't make a commitment quickly. So I think the fact that this woman, whoever she is has that standard, means that she thinks a lot of you, and she thinks a lot of herself, and she's high quality.
Does she want to have more dates with you?
Well, this is number two.
This is number
date
two?
Number
yeah,
two?
She's actually here.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, okay, where are you?
No, I don't want to call her.
Oh, you don't want to call her out.
No, call her out.
He's covering
maybe
you, sister.
We could meet this genius in a little bit.
He's covering you. I
but
like
you know
that.
When I got serious about number three, I was down to about 13 or 14. And to finish up, you know, we didn't break up, but we took a break. And then I finished the 20. And so, you know, sometimes you don't want to be around while the other stuff's happening, and you take a little break and see how it goes. But I think you've got a good future.
Can I challenge you a bit? Why don't you go 20?
That's right. Yeah. Nice smile on his face. It's different, isn't
There's
it?
There's a little thing called rebounds that we men are prone to. Why don't you say, I won't be a guy that rebounds. I'll go 20, and I will never regret it.
When's the last time you were in a relationship?
About 2 years ago.
See, rebound right there. 2 years. No. It really would be great if you kind of did some of the same stuff, too. But maybe you've already done your 20. I don't know.
This is kind of new for me because I've never experienced something like this.
And she's trying to do the right thing. You know, that's the main thing. She's trying to do a good thing, not do a crummy thing.
And I respect her for that. I just, you know, like, again, it's new to me, so I'm kind of just trying to grasp my hand around it, so to speak.
Yeah. First off, you're a hero for even coming tonight and being willing to put a question in and make yourself vulnerable. Yeah. I want to let you know that. I'm on number 19. These guys are now a part of my, you know, I call them my Navy SEALs to help me graduate. But as far as singleness goes, I'd really gone offline for a while because I just was really discouraged and disenchanted. And so I started this process, and they encouraged me to. But I will let you know, I really respect the guys that I have shared this with, because it takes a lot, you know, to hear that. It's like, what? What is this? I haven't heard this before from anyone. So you're a hero for just hanging in there. I would say don't do an ultimatum. I had one guy do that with me, one gentleman, give me an ultimatum. And it actually caused me to get off track. Once I pulled out from the process.
And then the three Navy SEALs put him down.
Well, I had questions come up. Like, wait a second. Why are you doing this?
It's control.
Yeah. And I think it was more about some insecurity and some interest on my part. But the relationship didn't survive, right? So the good news is, as I went back out on track again, and I am in the process of deciding. And number 8 is here tonight, right?
Yeah. That's cool.
So my number 8's here.
Yeah. Well, giving you an ultimatum is like suggesting where a rhinoceros put their horn. I mean, it's just something you'd want to avoid doing.
Yeah.
So the guy wasn't that bright
but,
to
you know,
begin with.
But let me tell you something, right?
Yeah.
But for guys to be a part of a herd, they're not used to it. I think men, and forgive me if I'm stepping on toes here. I might be stepping on toes. But I think men are more used to being the pursuer and kind of have more of a herd mentality. Well, you'll call different women and get to know different women at the same time, right? That's not foreign. But I think for women, it's really foreign for us to date in succession, to date more than one guy at one time. It's not what we're used to. We're used to just kind of waiting and responding, right? And kind of one at a time. So it is different for us. But one thing that I'm loving about the process is the cream rises. The men of integrity hang around. They don't control the woman. They just kind of stay in touch. They continue to love her and court her.
And they're not dependent or controlling.
No. No.
They've got their own lives.
They do.
And be glad you're not number four. that'd be tough. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ferdinand. God bless you there, buddy. All right. Okay, let's go to Dee Dee from Chino, California. Now, Dee Dee listens on KKLA, and there's the long and the short of it right there. All right, Dee Dee.
I would like to know, in a marriage relationship, how you strike a balance when you're enforcing a boundary without becoming like a parental figure.
Good question. John, Mr. Boundary?
Well, can I ask a little bit of diagnostic question?
Sure.
God never made a boundary to feel parental or controlling, so why do you have the concern?
Well,
is it because somebody on the other side of the room is saying that's being controlling?
No, I think it's more enforcing a boundary with another adult feels a little bit like trying to control what they're, like with a child. You're trying to teach them something. An example would be in a financial situation.
Okay.
If one party is more responsible than the other, and you're trying to establish some boundaries and enforce those boundaries, it's a little bit like telling your child, I'm going to give you this much money and see how you spend it. Now, you better spend it wisely, or you're not going to get more money. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to strike a balance in that, I think.
Yeah, that does sound parental.
Yeah.
And when you look at, like, the financial struggles couples have, the best approach is for the one who's better with money naturally is to go to the one who's sort of more the fun spendaholic and say, can we do something we'll both be happy with? And the both be happy with is, it's easier for me, and why don't I give myself an allowance and you an allowance, and we're both under the same rules, as opposed to I control everything and you get a piece. So if I say we submit ourselves to the same structures of this much fun money and this much checking with each other, now we're a team.
I see. Very good. I like that.
In Walking Into Walls, I talk about the difference between boundaries and a wall and how a boundary can become a wall. And if you are like mom to a man, if you are trying to teach and you've been teaching for 20 or 30 years, it's not really a boundary anymore. It's a wall between the two of you, and it sounds like you want to tear that down. So that's a good thing. Sherry, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I do. I was just thinking sometimes the hardest lessons to learn are the ones we fail, the ones we lose. And sometimes for those of us that tend to be overcompensators or the ones that are the over-responsible, for those that we're in relationship with when they're under-responsible, we're afraid to let go and afraid to let them fail because it does impact us. But sometimes in that failure, when they have to kind of sit in the ugliness of that and have to own that, that sometimes actually helps them to make a turn. It's hard to do, but it's a part of learning and letting go.
A big part of buy-in, of boundaries is buy-in, actually. If you can get the other person to buy in and say, what's our dream? We want to, you know, retire, we want to save up for vacations, or maybe you want to give to a ministry trip. And then there's a we. And anytime you put a we into a boundary, that we write about this in Boundaries in Marriage, when there's a we there, people feel like adults. When there's an IU there, people do feel like kids. So bring out the we.
So let me ask you, John, what if we have a situation where someone's really trying and to set some boundaries in a healthy way, and their partner keeps failing, keeps, you know, spending excessively, or in, like in this case, what then? I mean, how far do you go? What do you do when boundaries been violated?
Yeah.
You've tried all these tools.
It happens. Yeah, the Bible speaks of it as an escalation. You start with Matthew 18, where Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, and you go to him, and he repents, you've won your brother. So there's the me and you connection piece. Then it says, if he doesn't repent, you bring two or three, and then you bring the whole church. There's a gradual escalation. So there, what you have to do, if the person says, I'm going to spend what I want, when I want to do it, and you don't have anything to say about it, then what you say is, first you come, you're very vulnerable and say, I don't want to control you, but I'm terrified. I'm terrified of the utilities going off, and I'm terrified of losing the electricity, and I'm terrified of the mortgage, you know, being taken away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, if you have a bell curve of people, most spouses will go, I don't want to scare you. And so they'll change. But if the vulnerability doesn't work, then you have to say, I've got to make some choices. And then you have to say, I've got to set up some kind of a financial system that protects me. I'm not doing this against you. I'm doing this for us. That's what God does every day of the year. I'm not doing something against you to discipline things. I'm doing it for us.
But really hard to do that in exactly the right way.
Well, if the goal is for them to like it,
yeah.
God's people never like it when he gives discipline. So the goal isn't that they'll like it. The goal is to be as redemptive and gentle as possible while you're being strict.
But don't be a mother.
Don't be a mother. Unless you're a mother to a kid.
Yeah, but...
But not, not to a husband.
It's hard for that intimacy to happen when it's your mother. All right. We'll take a break and come back.
We need a break.
After this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Thank you. Thank you. We are here at Faith Community Church. We didn't cram 700 people into a little studio there. And we're so grateful to get to be here. We always feel like we're among friends, and we all understand what transformation and what healing and recovery is. And so,
in a church that has over 40 different small groups and 40 different things.
Yeah.
Homeless, divorced, drug addicted, codependent, narcanon, veterans, they understand what the Bible teaches that we talk about.
Yeah. So thank you for having us here, Faith Community Church. We really appreciate it, and we love you and love our relationship with you. Well, why don't we talk with David from Simi Valley, California, and he also is a KKLA listener. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, David.
How you doing? Thank you for everything you guys do.
Good. Why don't you point that mic right up at your mouth there. There you go. Okay, great. Thanks.
I have a problem of just trying to forgive myself for all the stuff that I've done in the past, and I understand everything that you guys say, and I've done counseling and a lot of stuff, and I just can't get past. I just can't seem to forgive myself for a lot of the stuff that I've done, and I've had a son who passed away, and that's one of the major issues of a lot of it. But a lot of it is my drug, a lot of drug drinking, women, family. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. But the other major thing is that I've committed an act of, as my son passed away, I've also taken a life. And I feel very responsible for it.
So,
sorry about that.
Go ahead. This is really hard, David. You look at your past actions, and you believe that he sort of learned that from you, and he's passed away as a result?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
What kind of self-talk do you say to yourself that lets you know you haven't forgiven yourself? Because when we say, I can't forgive myself, there's messages. There's a judge. There's actually a judge in our head that says things. What kind of things does the judge say?
Well, the judge obviously is me, and I just can't. I can't. I go to confession, and then I have a hard time of doing three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers for taking a life. I just don't.
Well, if that hasn't helped you, I wouldn't do it anymore. It seems to me that redemption, or redeeming the horrible, ugly things of your life, and you feeling that they've been redeemed, is only going to occur when you step out and start reaching out to other people and try to put something into their lives and start to, you know, maybe even to save some lives. Have you thought about some area of...
Sure, yeah. To this day, I have 20 years clean and sober.
So, 20 years clean and sober. And you're, that's amazing. And before you were born, you knew that Christ
was after me.
Yeah.
I knew.
And he found you. And do you think that if Christ was here, that he would say, wow, I can't believe how crummy those 20 years were and what you did? Do you believe he would say that?
No.
No, because he doesn't remember. Because he won't remember our sins. I think he would say, hey, glad we had the time we had together. Glad you made it out.
Yeah.
And now I think he just wants you to do something with it. And I don't think that it's easy to feel. If we have this problem of forgiving ourselves, I don't think it's easy to feel it until we experience it in the eyes of other people who are grateful for what we've done. Because I think Satan can keep us right where he wants us, in shame and guilt. And it sounds like that even though you got 20 years, that you're still there. And I hate that for you.
Yeah, and it's just with my son who passed away, he had a drug problem, and he was in the gang, and I now have a daughter who I just found out a while back that she's addicted to prescription, and she wanted to try to commit suicide a while back, or not try, but she tried to OD. But and for my sobriety, just as of that, I can't change it. I can't. It seems like I can't help. And you're just...
David, let me clarify something. I mean, this is the loss that no one has words for.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a formula on the other side of the break that breaks the power of that loss. There is nothing worse than this loss for a parent. But there's a solution that God has, and we're going to talk about that.
Thank all right, you stand right there, and we'll do that as soon as we get back. You are listening to New Life Live. This is an unusual broadcast. We're in the auditorium of Faith Community Church with, I don't know, over 700 or so folks that are here tonight. Well, what do you think? It's about 1,000, wouldn't you say? I don't know. Ministerially speaking, 2,000 or 3,000 people here in the church. And we're glad that you are. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more of our questions here from Faith Community Church. If you've never been to this church here in West Covina, I suggest that you give it a try. We'll be back right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
You're back. We're talking with David, who has 20 years of sobriety, but still really struggling with the loss of his son. John, you got some help.
David, when people say, "I need to forgive myself," they need to stop saying it. It is impossible to forgive yourself. It is impossible for you to be the judge, jury, and executioner. And the Bible never speaks of forgiving yourself. You will not find it. What it says is you must receive forgiveness. You can't get yourself off the attacks of that judge inside that beats you up for whatever your responsibility was with your son's passing. You can't tell that judge, "I'm off the hook now." It has to come from the outside. It has to come from two places, from God, and it has to come from people. And I want to tell you a passage of Scripture and give you a suggestion. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, we are to confess our sins one to another, and then it says, that we may be healed. And God has that passage in there for situations like this, where I would want you to find a small group here, because there are a lot of really cool people who understand deep loss, and to sit down with someone eye to eye in that safe small group. In fact, I want you to find Richard, because I think Richard can deal with this. And I want you to tell him about what's your son's first name?
David.
Dave? And I said, I want to tell you about Dave, my son. And I want you to spend 10 or 15 minutes with him. What you loved about him, what it was like playing ball, when things started going south, when you were using. And in the end, I want you to tell Richard two things. Sorry. How much you miss him, and how bad you feel about what you did. And then I want Richard to look at you in the eye and say, "I forgive you, and you're okay with me, and you're okay with God." And that begins to break the power of the curse of the judge for anyone who has done a bad thing. You must do this face to face with a person who has grace.
Sherry, you had a comment you wanted to make?
Yeah, I just have a passage of Scripture that is amazing, and I want to share it with you because it's just what John was talking about. It's putting truth to what Christ already did on the cross. Because in 1 John 1:9, it says that he forgives all sins, meaning the sins that have been done to us and then things that we've done to others. It's all covered under the blood. And there's this verse, it's in Zephaniah 3:17, which is in the Old Testament. It's one of those books of the Bible that most of us forget that's even there, but it's a powerful verse. And I want you to write it down, or somebody to write it down for him so they can give it to him. But I'm going to put your name in it, David, because it's really for you. It says, "The Lord your God is in the midst of you, David, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, David, he will be silent and he will make no mention of past sins or even recall them. In fact, God will exult over you with singing." I mean, whoa. That is so far of grace. So far on the other side of God just saying, "I will not even recall them or bring them up. It has been covered under the blood. It's there for the taking. It's already been done on your behalf." And when we can walk in receiving that, kind of like John was talking about, sitting with someone else and speaking truth and having it spoken back over us, letting truth actually absorb in our heart, this is the kind of stuff that causes us to live with such gratitude and grace for Christ. Because really, without the blood, we would all be separated from God. You're no different than myself, John, Steve, anyone here. It's been paid for.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, David. Hope that's helpful to you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you. And we'll stay in touch with you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate everything.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Sherry, have you ever thought about being a preacher?
Yeah, well, I married one at one time, but
yeah. I noticed that. Yeah, yeah. We don't want you to.
You know,
turn
I'm
out
in
like
my do-over phase in life. Yeah. So, thank
hey,
you.
All right, let's talk to Mona from Chino, California. Hi, Mona. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us here.
I want to say to all of you that I've been listening for a couple of years, and that I'm very grateful, and that this is kind of hard for me to say, but I've been working for a while, and now I have the courage, and it's the time. I was abandoned when I was little. I was abused and raped.
Wow.
And I don't know how to get my anger out. You know that I'm mad inside, but I don't know how to set boundaries with anybody. I know I'm mad, but I don't know how to get it out. I don't know how to grieve. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem. And so is your question how do you deal with the anger that's still there from
from
the abuse? Okay. All right.
Well, first off, Mona, I'm sorry about that it should have never happened. And has all that been reported to the authorities?
It's been a long time ago. A long, long time ago.
And sometimes the person's still alive and can still hurt kids on a parking lot or something. Has the person been reported? Are they alive?
They're dead already.
They're dead? When abuse happens to a little girl, little boy, they lose their voice. They become helpless because they believe they have no choices and they're someone else's object. And so they'll go through decades of life not being able to say, "This was wrong, stop that, I don't like that." And they lose their voices in marriages and in business relationships and in churches. The voice is gone since childhood. And the way that the Bible designs the way to get out of that is you must find places of safety and grace where there is no condemnation. For example, a church like this, Pastor Kelly runs this entire ministry, and Pastor Kelly's an expert on these things, and he finds people who say, I want to draw out what happened to you. And I want to tell you a verse to think about, and it's in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says that a person's heart are deep waters. Mona has deep waters. You can feel them. We feel them with you. And they have pain. And they have good stuff, too, like love and fun and passion, but there's deep pain. And it says in the second part of that passage, a person of understanding draws them out. You can't do this by yourself. If your voice was taken away by a bad adult, you can't bring your voice back. It must come back to you from the outside. So you must be in a safe setting, small group, healthy church, counselor, spiritual director, and tell the story, and that person will draw you out. And when they draw you out, you will find basically three things. You'll find the anger, because you must protest the sin against you. We must all have that anger. You'll find the grief and sadness to let go of a childhood that wasn't good, and we must grieve. And the third thing is you're going to find love. After the anger and after the sadness, there's love, and you begin to open up, and you begin to feel secure. But it must be done with people who draw you out.
And, you know, sometimes our anger is there because we feel like a very cruel person got away with something, and there was never justice done. But people that I've talked to that have abused children, I find them to be more regretful than not. It's kind of the rare person that isn't. And I just know that most likely the person that did that to you went through some kind of hell here on earth. And, you know, God says, vengeance is mine. And I just hope and pray that you at some point can let that person go so that you can get back your voice, so that your focus isn't on somebody. You don't let him have another minute of your reality. That's what I'm hoping and praying for. I think John's really got a good process for you. And so thank you for sharing that, because I know so many people are still struggling with something that happened years ago. And it's really time to let it go and to move on. And that's what I'm going to pray for you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for sharing that. We'll come back after this and take one more phone call or person standing in front of the microphone right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. it could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Denham. And John and I are going to be signing some books after this is over with. I mean, if you're listening on radio, we're not going to be signing books after you listen to us on radio, but right here in the auditorium. But Sherry, you had another thought for Mona.
I did. Hey, Mona, I want to tell you, I work a lot with trauma victims. It happens to be one of my niches. I love it because I really find that you can set people free that have been living with years of hurt and pain because of the abuses that have happened to them. So as John talked about the deep waters, I talk about it in that there are trauma parts that have been stored in our hidden heart. If you kind of think about a heart like a Valentine, and if you draw a line at the very bottom of that heart, there's these little pockets that get developed when we have trauma. And some of those trauma parts are pain. Some of them are coping. Some of them are angry parts. Some of them are terrified parts. And those parts have beliefs that wrap around them. Things that sound like this, which might be familiar to you. I cannot trust anyone. I am not safe. I am not lovable. Do those sound familiar? Yeah. And so those end up becoming strongholds in our life. And so part of the healing comes when you begin to, like John said, let it out. I do this thing called EMDR. It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. I won't go into it in detail, but I can chat with you after. But it's a way of getting to that hidden heart, because those parts have to come out and share. They have to, those hurt parts, you've got to let the anger out. And that negative belief has to be transformed to truth. It's intensive work, but I want to encourage your heart. You can heal. I just don't want you to, I want to give you hope to go, you don't have to stay stuck. But those wounds kind of set those roots down deep, and you've got to actually allow those parts to come out and talk, you know? Those pained, hurt, angry parts.
Okay. All right, well, our final person standing up in front of the microphone is going to be Madison. Madison from the L.A. area. Hi, Madison.
Hi. So my 8-year-old daughter has been pulling out her eyelashes, and she looks awful. Her dad and I are going through a divorce. We just started the process, and that's one of her symptoms that she has. I also have a 4-year-old, but that's the main one that really bothers me.
Okay. Why are you getting a divorce?
He's an addict, and we've been going through it for over 6 years. He'll go on binges, he'll just leave, he'll write bad checks, he'll steal from me, he'll lie to me constantly, and it's a cycle that we've been trying to break for 6 years, and he's not willing to change. He just, he got a DUI on his way home from rehab 2 months ago, and that's when I drew the line.
Okay. And how does he feel about her eyelash problem?
I don't think he cares, honestly. Care. He's just numb.
Too into the addiction.
Yeah, he's just numb.
And what have you done to try to for him to get help?
He's been Celebrate Recovery, in and out of rehabs, different programs, church. We've done counseling. He's lived in a home with men with from church that have addict problems. We've tried everything that I can think of, in and out of hospitals.
Have you had a time of separation before now?
I mean, it's kind of been a separation on and off for 2 years.
Yeah.
Because he's gone at 2 months at a time.
Okay.
Who knows where.
Well, I want them to comment on the little girl, but I would just ask you to consider that sometimes when there's a divorce, there's no hope for the addict. Sometimes when there's just a separation, and I know you've been through a lot, but sometimes a separation with purpose, the person actually feels a little bit of hope and might be more motivated to change. But certainly doing what you've been doing and being there for him isn't going to help anything. So I'm glad that you've, you know, you're not going to let it stay the way it is and continue as right. it was.
I gave him a separation. I said, well, I not legally, but I said, this is your last chance. Yeah. You know, go get help. And he went to Oregon and got a DUI. So that was kind of it.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about the little girl? What could she do?
Madison, you know the technical term. If you've been to a doctor, you know the technical term, right?
My care pastor told me,
trichotillomania,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And if she has trichotillomania and other things, it means she's anxious because those are anxiety disorders. And there are ways to soothe her when she's scared because what's going on inside your 8-year-old is that her world's coming apart because God meant for her to have a mom inside her heart and a dad inside her heart, and they're supposed to love each other. And when that begins to go upside down, it causes tremendous insecurity and fear. And the way to control the anxiety is to do the compulsive behaviors and all sorts of things and, right. and pulling on the eyelashes. So whatever, I like what's, where Steve's going with the thing with the husband, but with your little girl, she's going to have to see a counselor. When it gets to the level that she's doing, she needs to see a professional. And there's good research out there these days and good techniques. But the basic idea is whatever the therapist says about it, which has to do with ways to feel in control and the ways to understand how to put words on your feelings, because pulling your eyebrows is a way to have feelings and not put words. When they can verbalize at 8 that I'm scared, I need to comfort, is Dad coming back, that helps her. And your goal as a mom, as the little girl's caretaker now, is to provide her as healthy momming, mothering as you can, but you also have to find out where to get good dadding with guys that aren't her dad. She was built to find a dad. And until your dad shows up, your husband shows up to be a dad, you've got to find healthy guys in a church that are brothers, that are, you know, pastors and, you know, people who are very safe. She needs to spend daddy time with somebody that's got a beard and that sort of thing. And that begins to put those two little holes back together in that are causing her such anxiety.
I have my dad. My dad has always been
there for us. Is he a present and nurturing person?
Yeah, very.
Okay, up the time with dad.
Always with my dad. Always.
Sherry, you have a quick comment?
Just quick. Sometimes it's right, it's an anxiety disorder, and so getting her into therapy is great. I would buy a really soft brush and sit with her in the evenings and just brush her hair. It just a soft bristle, and just take it and brush it for 10 or 15 minutes. It's really soothing. It's sensory, you know, consistent, and so it'll help to calm her down. Reading to her, you know, just laying down with her in bed before she goes to bed. Anything that's going to, as a mom, decrease her anxiety before she goes to bed, and just really helping her. So
thanks
those
for
are
sharing
some practical
that,
ideas.
Yeah, very tough. Well, we're just about out of time. I think we have 53 seconds or so. Anything you guys want to add before we close out the program?
Just love being with you, all of you. I mean, I just have watched your faces up and down, and as people have been sharing tonight, I can tell that we're in good company. We know pain, but we also know there's a Redeemer. And so thank you for letting us be a part of your body tonight.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. I know this has been a life changer for me. I'm going to get my wife one of those soft brushes. that sounded really good. Didn't it sound good to you?
It does.
15 minutes of that, I'll be a new man. Anyway, we're glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us today. This is New Life Live. If you need some help, all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, that's about it. I think I kind of went early there before the music, but that's what it's like when you have the attention deficit disordered brain. I never got enough attention. You know that, right?
All right. We're trying to fix that.
Yeah. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day today, and we'll see you here next time on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.